Let's get an update now on the race to develop a vaccine for COVID-19 with Dr. Onyema Obuagu. He is the principal investigator for Pfizer's vaccine trials and an associate professor of medicine at Yale University. Pfizer has one of 11 potential vaccines in phase 3 trials, and the company is expected to first apply for an emergency use authorization as soon as next month. Doctor, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
We want to start with the timeline for a vaccine. As you know, it was a main subject last night at the debate. President Trump said during the debate that the vaccine is, quote, going to be announced within weeks. He mentioned Pfizer by name, along with Johnson & Johnson and Moderna. He said, alternatively, that a vaccine should be coming by the end of the year. You are, of course, in a position to know, being with Pfizer. What is the earliest you expect a vaccine to be widely available to the public?
Yeah, so, you know, the first important thing to mention is that no one can know for certain when a vaccine would be ready. And the reason why this is the case is that the ongoing clinical trials are going to report results which are driven by events. So the incidence of COVID between vaccinated groups and groups that got placebo in the clinical trials. We are hoping, for example, in the Pfizer study to have that done probably in November. If the results are looked at and it shows efficacy, those data will go to the FDA. I hear there will be probably be about a 2 to 4 week timeline for the FDA to review the preliminary results and make a determination on issuing an emergency use authorization. After then would be the, you know, distribution of the vaccines. And because there will be limited doses initially, it will be probably triaged to individuals at the highest risk for infection, which would be healthcare workers and, you know, older individuals, people with comorbidities. And so I think that, you know, the most optimistic expectations around the vaccine availability would be the first quarter of 2021.
When you say emergency authorization, who would be eligible to receive it?
So when the FDA reviews data from a clinical trial, one of the very important details would be the entry criteria into the studies, what patient populations were studied. So, you know, for example, if the vaccines were studied in older individuals and did not include children, when the emergency use authorization is released, it will not include children. It would include the populations that were enrolled into the study. So what I'm saying is that, you know, those entry criteria into the study would determine the breadth of the emergency use approval who would apply to. But I think that the distribution initially would be more narrow than those groups just because of what will be an initial vaccine shortage.
If Pfizer's vaccine proves to be safe and effective, there's still the problem of distribution. And there are concerns in particular about Pfizer's cold chain vaccine because it has to be kept at roughly negative 103 degrees Fahrenheit. How difficult is that going to make it to safely distribute the vaccine eventually to everybody who needs it?
Yeah, that's important because, you know, certain sites, for example, you know, pharmacy chains may not have those cold freezer temperatures available to them. And so definitely will put a challenge to logistics. I do know that the government has contracted large chains like CVS and Walgreens who are starting to prepare for that requirement.
Pfizer's CEO last month said that people who don't take the vaccine will become a weak link that allows the coronavirus to spread. How much does it concern you that some people say in surveys they simply won't trust a vaccine once it's developed?
Yeah, it remains very concerning. Obviously, some of the drivers of this are historical, particularly among minorities and perceptions around clinical trials, but also because of the politicization a lot of the COVID-19 responses. You know, the data remains very concerning that less than half of Americans will accept a vaccine. And if you break it down by racial lines, less than 4 out of 10 blacks, for example, would accept a COVID vaccine if it becomes available. And so what it does is that it threatens the ability for us to achieve herd immunity, which is having enough vaccinated individuals in the community who have immunity that should be the way that we start to curb and get past this epidemic. And what it also means would be that among unvaccinated populations, there could be, you know, vulnerable pockets of the community where disease could continue to spread even after a vaccine becomes available. So efforts really have to be ramped up early to improve vaccine acceptance rates.
Dr. Obuagu, I just have one other question. Once there is a vaccine widely in distribution and in use, Do you think the necessity of wearing face masks to prevent the spread will be a thing of the past? Does one replace the other?
That's the hope, for sure. I think that, again, it would depend on the efficacy of a vaccine. For example, if we have a low efficacy vaccine where a certain proportion of people who get the vaccine will not be protected against the disease, that would be a whole different calculation. But if we have a very effective vaccine that's taken up by many individuals and we start to see case counts go down significantly, yes, then we may return back to normal. But some of the lessons we've learned from this period about staying home if you're sick, you know, if you're exposed to individuals, utilizing some of, you know, face masks and social distancing, I think some of those practices should remain and will be important.
Dr. Onyema Obuagu, Associate Professor of Medicine at Yale University and Principal Investigator for Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine trials. Nice to speak with you, Doctor. Thank you.
My pleasure, Lisa.